Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space and time and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
Hey there, grinders. Welcome, everybody, to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences that we've gained through movies, games, TV shows, and other pop culture goodies. My name is Sean, and with me, as always, I've got Ryan, whose shiftiness would keep him safe on even the busiest of greens. What's up, dude?
Shifty Shifty, that's what they call me. Mr. Shifty Shifty.
Mr. Shifty Shifty. Is that Shifty, like Shifty. Shakira Shakira, where I'm convinced that Shakira and Shakira Shakira are actually
Shakira
siblings?
Shakira.
Is that her real name? Is her first name Shakira and her last name is also Shakira?
Just no, like Maria, I think Maria. When she, I think when she yeah. says Shakira Shakira, she's tagging in her sister who's Shakira Shakira, and then that's her sister.
Oh, okay.
Are you suggesting that the hips do in fact lie?
They do lie, and there's actually multiple hips. And listeners, that other voice is Brian, who definitely would not forget to feed John Daly three times a day. What's going on?
No, I would not. I am Brian, and yes, I would like some breadsticks.
Ooh. Can you imagine some breadsticks from a nice Dominican, Puerto Rican, Italian sushi restaurant?
They'd probably be amazing breadsticks.
And last but not least, we have Kyle, who definitely does not look like if Freddy Krueger worked at a Starbucks. What's going on?
Why do I have nothing witty to say to that? I don't know.
How can you, when you don't know what's coming, be able to prepare for something so obtuse?
That's the whole key to claiming to be good at improv, which I suck at, but like
Freddy Krueger was into little kids just like Jared, our arch nemesis.
There is a Subway reference too, and I was like, they're brave for going back to the human-based mascots.
I must Okay, this is a crazy early tangent, but was Freddy Krueger in the old ones into little kids, yes. Or was it just the one with Jackie Earle Haley?
No, because the town burned him alive for molesting their kids. That's why
I think
that's
always been.
That's why his skin's all fucked up.
He's wow! Kids. I learned,
and that's why he
today.
Specifically I visits thought... teenagers in their dreams.
Thought that was a fork in the road, and they were trying to be edgy with the new one.
Nah,
no, he's always been. Yeah, been a creepazoid. That's why he doesn't kill the parents. It's always the kids.
Well, I am so glad that you don't look like Freddy Krueger if you worked at Starbucks.
Except for the mom at the end that's an inflatable doll. I am too, to be honest with you. Although he doesn't look nearly even half as bad as Cricket in current season of Always Sunny. So
that's true.
Let's that play dude a game. Gets way worse every season. What's that? Yeah.
It's such a good ongoing gag. We should play a game of which fictional burn victim would you rather look like?
I like this.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Check us out on Patreon for that fun game. Patreon.com/experiencegrind.
My search history is about to get super fucked, and I'm gonna have some weird YouTube algorithmic recommendations. That's a hard word to say.
I already know my answer, know which is even more fucked up, really.
I've thought about this.
Well, welcome back, listeners. This week, we are talking about Happy Gilmore 2. I know. When do we do something super topical? Well, when it releases straight to Netflix and we don't have to go anywhere. Let's go, motherfucker. Burr, 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 burr. guys, this... Well, actually, by the time this comes out, it's going to have been about a week and a half, which is plenty of time for all of you. Every single one of you should have watched this by now. Over a long weekend, you've had two weekends since this has come out, at the time of this being dropped.
I think everybody has seen it. This did have, like, the biggest Netflix opening ever.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane, the amount of people that watched
47 million views opening weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
It's, like, the biggest thing Netflix has ever done, like, by far, I think.
Yeah.
By a large margin.
By at least 5 million.
So. Dude, if you convert those to ticket prices, that could have easily been a $100+ million opening for a comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
insane.
I really wonder. Unfortunately, how much that translates. Once you
start charging for tickets, people are less likely to go see it. So,
or when you tell
I still
them
think
to
it would have probably had a pretty big turnout, though.
I think so. Yeah, this definitely would have made money.
Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. so much so that even just earlier today, when I watched this again, like. Happy Gilmore 1 is one of their hot movies right now. And I can't imagine that that's something prior to this that everybody's going out of their way to watch. And it's one of my favorite movies, but like come on. Mm-hmm. So it's done so much for that initial one I'm still staggered by how many people watch this.
I was part of that demographic that went back to Happy Gilmore 1 because... Up front, I will say Happy Gilmore 1 is not one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies. I hate a lot of modern Adam Sandler for where he's gone, but I did love like Big Daddy. I love The Wedding Singer. I love Billy Madison. I love a lot of his stuff. But Happy Gilmore just never really clicked with me for some reason, and I didn't remember it because I saw it as a, I don't know, maybe first, second year of college, and never wanted to go back to it. I was like, I'm fine. Billy Madison's my movie. That's what I'm going to go back to.
It's crazy.
Going back to it, I was like, Happy Gilmore 2, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of references to the first one. I need to go back and refresh myself. So I was one of the million. All right, that's probably fair. I was like, is that exaggeration? No. It might be millions who are watching Happy Gilmore 1 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Follow up to that, with that being said about how you felt about Happy Gilmore, the first one from when you were younger, did anything change in your appreciation of it? Or are you still not as big of a fan of that movie as you are some of the other ones?
Yeah, it's I don't like it. I still don't really like it, but I don't dislike it as much as like I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry and some of the other
super
more
low
recent
bar,
ones.
Yeah.
That's well, all right, sorry.
I like it better than Chuck and Larry.
Anything after that. I like it better than Mr. Deeds. I like it better than Jack and Jill. I like it better than
Man, if you ask me for a list of movies I like better than Jack and Jill.
Those are the recent ones. What's the Bro's one going with to him like, and Jennifer Aniston, the Rebound. I like it better than that. You know, like
Rebound. I forgot about The Rebound.
Did you watch it's a murder mystery?
I watched the first one. I did not see the second one. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty solid. I didn't think it was anything amazing, but like again, I was like, wow, this is actually pretty decent for where Adam Sandler usually is in these things.
It's that surprise factor of like, holy shit, I didn't expect that to actually be pretty okay. Mm-hmm. Which inherently, like, internally makes it better than it is, but whatever.
Fun fact, Murder Mystery, directed by the same director of Happy Gilmore 2.
Which we will check out Murder Mystery now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, guys, we are out of Action Movie December Part 2, so that means we are back to our regular movie rating system, which is going to be based off of characters, story, style, entertainment value, and direction. Which each one of those being worth up to 5 points. But first off, would you guys mind if I just ran through the story beats of this real quick, and then we can dive into talking about all these little facets?
Beat it up.
Let's do it.
All right. 30 years after the events of the first movie, Happy Gilmore has seen his shares of ups and downs. He's won 6 tour championships, had 5 kids, killed his wife, became a raging alcoholic, and quit golf. You know, your typical ups and downs. Currently in the downward portion of one of these swings, Happy learns that his daughter Vienna is too good at dance to just get regular lessons, and so her teacher reaches out to a prestigious school in Paris. The only problem with this is the $300K price tag. Or $330, I guess, if you're John Daly. His kids being his remaining pride and joy and reason to go on, Happy realizes that he needs to pick the clubs up again. While a training mishap lands him in a radical alcohol treatment program, nothing can hold Happy back. All he needs is a top 30 finish, and Vienna is golden. In the background of all of this, an eccentric, foul-breathed, franked manatee is gathering together the best golfers that he can medically alter to form his maxi league. An ADHD fever dream of golf for today's generation with its sights on putting regular golf out of business. Among these golfers that Manatee hoped to gain was none other than Shooter McGavin, whom he got released from a mental institution. What started as a journey for a 30th place standing ends up with ambitions to end in the top five to partake in a 5v5 competition for supremacy, with a back nine of a movie that has familiar faces and cameos peppered literally everywhere, and a golf course that one would only expect to see in a Mario golf game, Happy reunites with Shooter, and they work together with four other pros to save golf, get Vienna to Paris, and put Hail L away for good. I think that, without diving too much, pretty much covers all the bases here.
Absolutely nailed it.
Yep, 100%.
I will say, not even going to get there. We're not there yet. But guys, let's just dive right into this and start with the characters. Characters in these categories, they cover the casting, the antagonist, protagonist, all of those different categories. They're just kind of all wrapped into one with a sweet little bow on top. And I would love to ask Ryan to start us off and chatting about the characters of this movie.
I love that I'm going to start this one because I have no idea where anybody else is going to go with it. And I honestly kind of didn't know where I was going to go with it till I was told I was going to start characters. But I think a good kind of, I will say just a quick summary of my feelings is that this feels a lot of quantity instead of quality, and however far that mileage takes you is great. It might work for some people because they throw a lot of people, a lot of cameos, a lot of things at you. I mean, even to the point where, like, Happy Gilmore has kids. How many kids? Not one, not two, five kids. Is that right? Or is there five boys and one girl?
Five kids total, four boys.
All right, five kids. Okay.
Yeah.
And really, it's just like the girl's important, and then there are the four boys. The four boys are not even fucking characters. They're barely characters. We care about the girl and her going to college and all this stuff. So the characters are like that. Some characters get a lot of focus, and then for every character that gets focused, there's like three other characters in this fucking movie. And that's fine. It's just a lot. That said, I don't think there's anything inherently bad here. That's not true. Again, I point out the four boy characters. They're just standing boy characters. There's nothing to them. They're one dimensional at best. And there's a lot of those characters, and that's fine. But they're likable enough. None of them are offensive. None of them are like, there's one. There's one. And I don't know when to talk about Rob Schneider. But Rob Schneider is, I guess, a character.
You've already ripped the Band-Aid, brother.
There we go. This movie will probably end up losing a point or two.
You can do
simply
it.
Because of Rob Schneider being in this movie, doing that fucking one quote. Because there's so much of this kind of like nostalgia baiting, and I get it, that's fine. Like, that's expected in this kind of movie at this point. The Rob Schneider one, especially like where he is at this point in his career and what he's doing on a big grand stage, is just like, I don't fucking need this in the movie. Thank you. And really, like, it's one of those things where like the movie stops to then turn a camera over to him, then turn back. And that shows you how little he's actually important to the movie. He is just like this extra thing they shot to throw in. And there's a lot of that. So that's a big long way of saying I'm going to give it a 3.
All right.
There's a lot of opinions in there for middle.
Yeah. I'm just going to hop in here to, because if I don't, I will forget what I'm going to say. And I'll say that I like the boys, I think, a lot more than you do, Ryan. To me, they seemed like four little Happy Gilmores in the background, just in the distant, like, they have all of the qualities of Happy when he was younger. Like, they will beat the shit out of anyone, but also do anything for their family. And it just, like, every single one of them exudes that. Exudes that. So I like them a whole lot more. But this, a lot of this really did feel like Sandler being like, okay, every character that you've ever seen in a Happy Madison flick, they're gonna be in this. Pretty much, except for Alan Covert, which is a little odd that he wasn't in this movie. Like, he's really the only of that early core to me that I feel like wasn't in this.
I hope he's okay.
Wasn't he Otto? He was the original caddy, right? The bum caddy
from
the first movie. Yeah, I guess I could see that. But with that being said, I'm also going to give it a 3 because there is a lot there. A lot there, and I think they've really shined with a lot of characters, but there's also just a lot of unnecessary. There, too much. Too much of a thing is not necessarily a good thing. And with that, I'll send it to. What do I have for an order here? I'll send it to Kyle.
What do you have for a score?
He did three.
Oh, he said 3.
Yeah, it was buried in there somewhere. It was a lot of words and not a lot of substance like this.
Well, damn. I missed it too.
All right. I came in to this movie not wanting to hate it, but probably not wanting to like it. And I tried not to. And...
That's an interesting way to watch a movie.
I know. Well, so I'm gonna hate to like this, damn it. It's got 2 strikes against it in my personal thing. Number one, it's a straight to Netflix thing, which generally to me is not a mark of good or well made. Usually, it's just a thing. And the other is that it's a sequel to a movie from 30 years ago that was already pretty good. I'm in the Sean boat. I fucking love Happy Gilmore. Yeah. It was the first one of these I ever saw. My cousin showed it to me, and I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And then I saw Billy Madison. I also like Billy Madison better. That's where Ryan and I are the same. But I will always love Happy Gilmore for its, of course, its association to golf, too. I am the golfer in this group. I love the sport of golf. Happy Gilmore, for 30 years, has been a subject on every golf course I've ever played on. People will talk about Happy Gilmore at some point. Somebody will make the joke like, oh, I could Happy Gilmore it over there, of course. Nobody will actually try it because you fucking look like a doofus and you eat shit.
Pull a John Lovitz.
You do pull a John Lovitz, indeed. That's why I think it's in there, because people that try it, you fuck it up. But all that said, I had a fucking blast. I'm super positive on this movie. I fucking enjoyed everybody in this thing. I am the cameo pop guy. I loved it when people popped up. I love that the golfers are essentially like the NBA players from Space Jam, and that they, while they're the pros, they don't matter. Although Michael Jordan compared to Adam Sandler at golf, 2 different stories, but still. That said, full 5 for me. I loved everything that they did. I really enjoyed what they did with Shooter.
I loved Shooter's arc.
Shooter was fun as hell. I almost did agree to drop a point for the Snyder thing. I hated it too. He was just replacing a little person. Yes. I think it was maybe an attempt to not arguably use that in
be less
era.
Offensive.
I guess so. But if I'm hating on Schneider being in the movie, man, I would have to hate on John Daly being in the movie. And John Daly is funny as fuck in this
movie. John
Daly
is so good.
He was so good.
He is absolutely hilarious. The craziest part to me, I didn't realize Benny fucking Safdie was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Benny fucking Safdie. And I don't want to get out of here after being the first guy to give it a 5 without mentioning Bad Bunny. I've never heard of this fucking guy. I fucking loved it, man. I thought he was great. So, yeah, it gets a 5 for me. One more pop. Also, MJF. Really enjoyed him. Even as the oldest Sandler kid, he's great. Michael Jacob Friedman, he's a wrestler. He's a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Okay. I see.
He was also great as the oldest. I wish he had more, but I enjoyed him. So
before I send it on, Brian, can you bump me up to a 4 there? Like, Oscar, Bad Bunny as Oscar is one of my favorite characters in recent memory. He was so entertaining. And even though I covered prior to this that this is casting antagonist and protagonist, I didn't even think of antagonist and protagonist in my scoring. And Shooter's arc in this, what's his Manatee, like, it's a 4. It would be a weak 4, but 3 is a little too low for me. Brian, can you finish us out on this?
Yeah, I'll finish us out. I echo a lot of what has been said already. One of my favorite Letterboxd reviews of this movie was Happy Gilmore 2 and the Multiverse of Cameos.
Yeah.
Because this movie is just, I mean, people rip on Marvel all the time for cameos for no reason. Like, oh yeah, this guy just shows up and hey, I'm bleep-a-blorp. And this movie, I don't think goes more than 5 seconds without introducing a new cameo for the entire runtime. It's absolutely insane, but they're all so good, except for that one. We all know which one I'm talking about. Eminem is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And apparently there's like a whole hour of footage of him just doing stuff.
Dying?
That they're like, yeah, hey, well, just run with
Detroit.
It,
Eminem.
And he did a whole bunch of stuff, what? And they cut down to, you know, what they used. Eric Andre is in this for a beat. They do some hilarious podcast stuff, which you don't see a lot of podcasts represented in movies very often. Mm-hmm. But like you had Bad Friends with Andrew Santino and
Bobby Lee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I love when they're holding on hands. Hot ones. They're doing all sorts of fun stuff. And
instead of making like the news rounds, they're doing like all of these pop
exact
audio things.
So good.
It was very smart.
So good. So I like that they brought just about everybody they could back from the first movie, even if they just had small parts, like Kevin Nealon and Dennis Dugan, Julie Bowen.
The IRS
Fun fact
agent.
About Julie Bowen, I wanted to drop this one in. We should have been one of the ones that rewatched Adams or Happy Gilmore 1 because she's in Happy Gilmore 2, and Mandy was like, oh, they got her from Modern Family. And I was like, well, yeah, they should have. She's in the first one. She's like, I'm like, yeah, that's Julie Bowen. And she's like, I had no, even if looking at it right now, I can't tell that's her. I'm like,
yeah,
she's got some good work.
Yeah.
She looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I can totally tell it's still Julie Bowen, but continue, Brian.
Yeah. They, of course, he put his whole family in the movie, but honestly, Sonny Sandler did excellent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other two were fine. Like, his wife is barely in the movie, and his older daughter is Charlotte, who's in the AA scenes with Ben Stiller, and just... it's so good. I mean,
I'd flip flop. I think I maybe enjoyed
Sadie. I thought she was better.
Yeah, really? I like Charlotte a little bit better. Yeah, I thought she was, dare I say, more believable when we're talking about an Adam Sandler movie, but I bought into her a lot.
At the end, she was like, I like you. You remind me of my dad. I was like, oh.
That was the line that I was like, okay, fine.
It warms my heart.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the casting in this movie is fantastic. The actual arcs of your protagonist and antagonists. I loved Shooter. I think Bad Bunny is the best addition to this movie. I absolutely love Oscar as the caddy. And this is a 4 for me.
Nice. I also like Oscar's cousin who takes the.
Yeah, he'll do anything for money. He's that friend that does anything for money.
That was awesome.
Like knockout punch, money. Okay.
I love Marcella Hernandez.
Jesus Christ.
And they've been doing stuff together since Bad Bunny was on SNL. So it's just really? It's excellent. Yeah.
Did anybody mention Haley Joel Osment as the villain?
That is what I That was supposed to be like my linchpin at the end of my, and I forgot about it because there's just so many freaking people in this movie.
So many.
Haley Joel fucking Osment with the heel turn after the tournament.
Great.
Just so good.
Unexpected. Yeah. Didn't see it coming. Really didn't.
Nope.
Out of here, losers.
Dude, I thought and he had also has be bros for like breaking the rules.
Has one of my favorite scenes, just like visuals of anything. Well, I've seen Superman recently, so I guess I can't say that. But like of recent memory, towards the end when he's doing his swing and he pulls back fully and looks behind him and just makes eye contact with him.
So
and
good.
Goes, whoop, whoop. And smacks it, dude. Dude, I fucking died, dude. It was so weird and amazing. Oh, brilliant. Brian, you ended that, but I also have you earmarked to lead us off on story. So if
sure.
you could just keep that train a rolling.
Story. This is the reluctant hero. This is the return to business. This is, you know, the fallen from grace. Typical story of, you know, the washed up, burnt out, and depressed former star needs to get back into it to for the sake of his family. It's a pretty simple storyline. I love the parallels between the Maxi League and like the current LIV
Live.
I still don't know. Live? The Live
I've always
golf
heard of
thing
Liv.
That's happening, and it's just the way they use a character like Happy Gilmore to rail against the changing of golf is hilarious, and just it's really well done, actually. That said, there's not much of a story here, but it doesn't need one because it's a comedy sequel to a 30-year-old movie that's a vehicle for joke 'em ups and a good time. And nostalgia and whatnot. So for me, I think it's a 3.5.
We can go halvesies on these now, huh?
Can we? Oh, wait, can we? You know what?
Yeah,
you're right. We never have.
I thought we had
never
on
have on this.
So you know what I'm going to say? It's,
I mean, I'm not against it. I just want clarity here. So I know
I'm going to commit to either a 3 or 4 right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to
okay.
give it. A dirty 4.
Wow.
Oh, shit. And, yeah, a dirty 4.
Wow.
Wow. All right. I will pass it on to Kyle.
Everything Brian said, although I'm not as positive. I think it's fine. It's serviceable. It doesn't blow everything away. I am a little bit below. Even without the half, I'm going as a solid 3. It's perfectly fine. It's perfectly suitable. It's not shitty. It's easy to follow. Can't really knock it. But it's also, you've heard the story. You know the story. It hits those same beats because it's just here to give us the jokes and the cameos.
Right.
Nothing super wowy. Although I did like that he killed Julie Bowen with a golf ball. That was kind of funny-ish. But I didn't see the purpose for killing her, although I guess it must have probably been a scheduling thing for her.
That's what I imagine it was.
We'll get it out of there. But all around serviceable, 3.
Much like the rest of this movie, I feel like, one, it was probably a scheduling thing, but also I'm sure as soon as they learned that they were like, oh, amazing, this fits in with, you know, us wanting to reference the first movie 9 million times and drop a after the funeral line.
What? Sorry, I just you reminded me of something that is going to make me change my score.
Oh, snap. Okay, I'm going to get through mine real quick. Okay, so there, I agree with everything that you guys said. I also enjoyed the hell storyline in this. It's also very bleak and barely there, but you know, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to this whole thing with hell and his radical treatment facility of what the hell was that thing called? It was hell. It was something Elky Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember what that was called?
I don't, but I do remember he called him Alkies, and I thought that was, that made me giggle.
Yeah. My name is Happy, and I'm an alcoholic. We don't say that. Keep it light here. So they end up getting him busted by the feds. Like, I laughed at the end. Anyways, I'll give it a 3. I don't think it's anything crazy to write home about. I think it is the train cart to deliver all of the entertainment stuff and doesn't really need a lot of stuff there. Brian, how are you changing the score up?
I'm also lowering mine to a 3.
There we go.
I forgot about the flashbacks. They relied pretty heavily on those to kind of, I probably could have saved this for style, but I'm going to put it in story because I know the screenplay and everything are considered in the story. And I feel like they ham fisted a lot of jokes that like, yeah, the movie was 30 years ago, but like we remember a lot of it. You don't have to give us flashbacks to drag us through the punchline.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, send us home.
Unsurprising anybody, I'm gonna give it a 3-2. I echo what a lot of people said. The only thing I'd add in is that I do feel it leans a bit too heavy, and I think this fits in the story because story encompasses dialogue and all this stuff with jokes and whatnot, but like it references the original so much in a way that it's like, it bums me out because it's like, I wish there was an idea, and the idea does come, and that idea, and this is why it's a 3 and I'm mostly positive, is I do really like the kind of weird, we're going to outdo golf, we're going to do our own thing, and I didn't even know the parallels to this Live League. That's something did not even know about. I just was like, oh, these are fucking really cool visuals, and like all the things they're doing, they're like, these are ideas. I love this. They're doing something creative. Anytime they did gags, I thought they were not that creative because they were really relying on formula a lot. I think I'll save the other stuff for later. I do think they do some stuff great with the gags, but when it comes to like the boys, I will go back to the boys because there's like the whole sequence of them doing things that Happy Gilmore does directly in the first movie, and it's scene for scene for scene for scene, and it's just 5 of the same jokes that you've already seen in a row. 4, sorry, I cannot count how many boys there are. There are 4 jokes directly from Happy Gilmore 1. It's like, come, we can do other stuff. You can do other stuff, and they do other stuff, so it makes this other stuff a little bit frustrating. So that's, I'm right in the middle, but I do lean mostly positive because I love the Live stuff and the weird golf stuff.
Yeah. That whole thing with talking about the flashbacks and stuff, Brian, like I have no idea, like that's something that I really wanted to talk about at some point too, but I had no idea where to put that.
Yeah.
I was figuring like style, but then as we're talking, I'm like, is that direction? Like,
right.
It was,
there's a lot of different places
fucking
you can put
much. Mm-hmm. Like there's no need to, for all of these characters, every single character that gets introduced that has any sort of tangential relationship to somebody from the first movie, they straight up show a grainy 4-second clip directly ripped from the DVD or VHS or whatever of the first movie, along with the music playing in the background of the first movie.
Yeah.
Like it is so lazy and so unneeded. Trust us as viewers, please. Trust us, Jesus.
Well, Kyle talks about Mitch skipping Netflix movies, and that's what they veered to now is people doing second screen experiences. So they've started writing scripts in a way that they just call out everything because they assume you're not paying attention. Yeah. And
my gosh,
not every single Netflix movie, but it's the majority of the Netflix movies now.
I'd say I guarantee that's a studio push to tie things more directly into the first movie so that audiences understand it. And the people that make the art are like, but they're watching Happy Gilmore 2. They would get it. And they're like, no, but you need to put it there. But the number one streaming movie on your platform is Happy Gilmore 1. All these people have just watched this movie. No, you need to put it there or they won't get it.
Right.
Guarantee.
Insane. Mm-hmm.
I also saw it as maybe an excuse for Adam Sandler to put that clip of his daughter as a child dancing. And then he's like, well, now tonally this doesn't match any of the rest of the movie. So maybe we need to throw in some more flashbacks.
But that right there felt like moving to have him be watching her recital and seeing like flashes of her as a kid. I didn't need the other stuff. To me, like that felt moving and tonally felt fine.
Yeah.
But I will say, because
he easily could have fleshed out the boys and done the same thing, but
I won't finish my thought.
I will say, if I have to go back and watch this, because I don't know if they just like superimposed another kid, was what's his name? Mr. Larson's kid next to him in the first movie? Because he definitely is in the flashback.
No, they definitely superimposed that in.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that was added.
I was like, man, how have I never noticed that before?
No.
Before it scumped it.
Now even the flashbacks are lying to me. This is bullshit. Anyways, Kyle, now that we've talked a bunch about the style and tone, you want to pick it up and give us your rating? Start us off?
Yeah, I will happily do that. And I'll do that and kick off to talk about LIV Golf a little bit more, to flesh this out for Ryan a bit. LIV Golf is, I might get, let's just say, some people that are known for crimes against humanity and lots and lots and lots and lots of oil money try to buy goodwill around the world by purchasing sports platforms.
Reptilians. I think that's about Saudi. You're speaking to me. Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of those platforms is LIV Golf. Who is also has involvement from our great and not corrupt at all fantastic president. So, you know, it's all on the up and up and just swell, buddy. So, LIV Golf.
Okay.
They came in, they offered shitloads, just the most ridiculous amounts of money to the top PGA players to come play LIV on their schedule, which is like, it is a different style of golf. It's like less holes. I think it's 72 holes overall, where in a golf tournament, you play a shitload more.
Oh, actually, maybe I think it's 54. I think that's what the
I think that's what it is. I think 72 is standard in PGA. 54 is the LIV standard. So they cut that, like, the play time in half. But, dude, like, I think Bryson DeChambeau got, like, look it up. It's insane. All right, so that's the funniest part to me is that, like, LIV Golf hired Bryson DeChambeau, who in Billy or in Happy Gilmore 2 is one of the golfers that is like fighting against the LIV Golf stand-in. Yeah. And it's like, motherfucker bought in. And I don't think any of the other four did, but Bryson did. Scottie Scheffler might have too. But that was another thing I was curious about with style, because as a golfer, I recognize like a lot of the golf people there. I enjoyed the Arnold Palmer joke.
The Arnold Palmer joke was great.
That was great. Yeah. I also did recognize
golfers in this movie.
The other golfers that are playing on the team. I didn't know how well that would pop to the general public that is not a golf person. I like, to me, they weren't very involved, which I think is good overall, because like half your audience don't know these people and won't give a shit about them. All that said to say, I'm waffling, but I think overall, like, I like the way almost everything was presented. It's clean and a little too Netflixy at some points, but overall, I think for style, I'm going to give this a 4.
I'll follow up just because I did a very job of explaining even what the style category entails, which is going to be style, tone, genre, and music. And with all of that being said, I'm going to give this a very strong 4. I think the genre in terms of a sports thing, the first one is way more of a sports movie. This is kind of an abomination of a sports movie. So I don't think that's that great, but also when you get into music, sure, almost the entire soundtrack from Happy Gilmore 1 is in this one because they aren't leaving anything in the first movie. But that being said, the entire soundtrack of Happy Gilmore 1 is amazing, and then add some other stuff in. So it's already, music for me is like a 5. I think Kyle, you said this looks really clean. I thought it looked really clean. I'm giving it a strong 4. And I'll send it to Brian.
All right. I'm in agreement with what a lot of you, with a lot of what you both just said. I love the parallel with Liv and Maxie. The design of these golf courses in that final sequence are amazing. They do some serious... Sorry. They do some real Mario Party kind of stuff here. The actual filming, you know, it's a comedy. It's brightly lit. You do what you do. It looks good. The flashbacks were obnoxious, but, you know, you could tell they were flashbacks. Music, I agree with Sean. A lot of repeats from the original movie, but great soundtrack from the original movie. Some of the stuff that was new in this one, like Tuesday's Gone and
Whoa. That is not new in this movie.
No, you're right. You're right. But they reused it in a way that made me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanna be hard on it, but I like it. So it's getting another 4 from me.
Like it. Damn it. Ryan, I don't know what all of those faces were while everyone was talking and tripping poor Brian up.
Seriously, I couldn't get my thoughts out because of the faces he was making.
All I saw was
these are my thinking faces.
I wasn't sure if you were disagreeing with me so hard. I don't know how I got making faces.
No. I am like looking at research and like you want to like a clear insight? It's me like digging into myself, just being like, "You stupid fuck! Why didn't you know that? Why'd you have to look on Google? Of course it's this." Of course. Anyway,
have you guys seen Strange Wilderness? Another Happy Madison movie?
Oh yeah.
And it's got a shark, and they're just like, "Look at this stupid fucking shark! Look at him! He looks like he's laughing." Like that. Like if I had a sound clip of that, like that's what was coming out of Ryan's mouth when he was making those faces.
To me, it's always just if you were to watch Ryan in a movie act like he's thinking at a computer, you'd be like, "This dude is overacting. He's this dude sucks. He's doing too much.
Too less, man. No,
you're like this is not realistic."
Ryan's you know what I forgot to mention? Tone is a 10 out of 5.
Yeah,
It'd be Nick Cage. I could not do anything less than Nick
Cage. Yes! 100%!
That's it. Yep. Oh my God. No, I was so distracted I forgot to mention Scottie Scheffler. Kyle, you were talking about how, like, do you recognize these golfers and whatnot? And most of them, no, I knew they were golfers, but the Scottie Scheffler bit was so good.
Like, with him getting arrested?
With getting arrested and then just staying in jail because it's chicken tender night. And yeah, it
was do you want your call?
Excellent.
No, I'm good. I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, Kyle, to piggyback off of that as well. Like I personally recognized a lot of the golfers, but what I enjoyed even more than that is when you see them playing the tournament, it's always nice for me to see a professional setting like that where this very fictitious character is actually playing with real actual people, and I think that really lends such a degree of credibility that like that was big for me. Anyways, Ryan,
you're running
with your outstanding style.
It is.
How about you carry us home here?
I will carry you home. I will carry all of us home. Style. Man, this one I'm kind of all over the place on, like a lot of these, I feel. Though, again, just keep in mind, listener, that I am mostly positive on this movie, even though, like, you hear a lot of other stuff come out my mouth.
It's good to balance.
Style does have, like, a degree of cinematography incorporated, to which I kind of agree with Kyle about the Netflix-iness of it all. And, like, there's just some, like, really bland shots, and like the framing's just kind of there, we just show it, it's fine. I do love, honestly, I think there's a lot of good pratfalls. I think there's some really good physical stunts, a lot of physical stunts where I was like, damn, they committed. That's a stunt person like really working in a way that you don't really see a lot. A lot of, I think, the pratfalls have now become like CGified or like, and I just enhanced. Immediately think back to, back to Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 and him like patting that horse on the ass and then getting kicked. And you see like this stupid, like, fake CG person get thrown into a car, or the Seth Rogen movie where he's pranking the neighbor who's hot, Zac Efron, and they do the air cushion gag, and you see him get launched into the ceiling, and it's just this CG abomination. I'm like, that's not funny, because it's not a person. It's just not funny to me. This does it. There are people falling in like really painful ways, it looks like sometimes. That is funnier. Like that, I appreciate that commitment. So just that wants me to, it makes me want to go high to counteract what I said about all of the stuff about the cinematography. I also think like the Mario Golf shit later on, like, again, they didn't have to do that. That was a choice they made. And it's this big, lavish choice. I appreciate that. I really hate Tuesday's Gone, y'all. I'm sorry. I really hate that choice. It's like whenever we're doing a jungle and CCR plays, like Tuesday's Gone was in Joe Dirt. Tuesday's Gone was in Joe Dirt 2. Tuesday's Gone has been in a lot of these kind of movies. Like, it's one of the songs I'm tired of. I don't want to hear it in a soundtrack again. So I also like kind of push back on some of the soundtrack stuff. It's just, it feels like what you would expect when it comes to the hits. And then when you go to the orchestral stuff, like, it's not super memorable. There's nothing there.
Yeah, that's true.
So all this to say, I do. Where am I going to go? It ultimately doesn't matter because it get averaged out, but it matters so fucking hard to me.
this is your score, dog.
Yeah.
I know.
And also,
where do I put it? I'm going to have to give it a very, very reserved 4.
Hey.
Because I
understand.
Like it.
I was also right on the edge of that 3-4.
To Ryan, you've seen Joe Dirt 2?
I hated it, but I have.
Follow-up.
I also have not seen that, or Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Neither, nor. No,
because,
right?
Like, well, all right, so, all right, two-part. One, like you, I love Joe Dirt, so I was like, surely all these people just don't get Joe Dirt 2. And, no, they got it, and I was a fool to waste my time. Two, I did not see Paul Blart 2 ever. I saw that trailer because that trailer was attached to every movie for a fucking year. And it was that same fucking horse gag. So
yeah,
I really got intimately familiar with that bad CG. I could see every fucking pixel.
Fair.
All right.
Man, talking about Tuesday's Gone, I guess I've never seen Joe Dirt 2. I've never seen Joe Dirt 1 all the way.
Joe Dirt's great.
Tuesday's Gone. This is like Happy Gilmore 1 and 2 are like the only two movies that I've heard Tuesday's Gone in. So it's like synonymous with those movies. Yeah. So when it came back, I was like, oh, here we go. Here it is.
And I won't discredit that. If you've not seen the movies with that, like, I get it. I completely get it. I just sadly have. And
we got like a good chunk of Knights of Sidonia in there too.
That ripped.
I'm pretty stoked.
I was just gonna say,
okay, four justified.
Damn it!
Ryan,
I should have gone first.
Entertainment value. I know we're like rock paper scissoring on camera and stuff. Who's gonna go first? We kept throwing up twos, so Brian. Entertainment value, which covers general enjoyability, box office, and impact on the genre / industry. Don't know why I included the / in there, but
box office. We obviously don't know. It's like a $30 million movie to make. Fine. It's made Netflix tons of money, depending on how you gauge that. Most, I mean, everybody who watched it either already had a subscription or signed up because of Happy Gilmore 2, but like, it's Netflix, it's 2025. Everybody has it. But 47 million views opening weekend is no small feat. Huge.
Ridiculous.
Impact on the genre, we have no idea. It's been out for 2 weeks. But I doubt this is the last sequel we see Adam Sandler make in the coming years.
Bigger Daddy.
Bigger Daddy. Or
I will watch that.
Big Granddaddy. Clicked.
Not what I'm thinking.
Frankenstein's monster.
Oh, come the fuck on, let's go.
I had that joke written down.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, man.
I like that.
Chuck and Larry get divorced.
No.
Oh, God.
It's a good joke, but no, there should
not watch, but
that never happened. That movie never.
You're telling me that they know that there's a line here? I don't believe it.
It's all that to say, enjoyability is what this is coming down to for me. And I came into this movie with not very high expectations. I was like, okay, we're going to rehash the old jokes. We're going to get through it. I was surprised at the length of the movie. At 118 minutes. And I didn't really feel that until we were getting toward the end of the golf tournament at the very end. I was like, oh, wow, this has actually been going on for a while. That said, I laughed almost the entire movie through. It's a 5 for me.
Yeah. Ryan, I'm not going to let you sit here and think about it and waffle. I'm going to put you on the hot seat here.
That's fine. I feel pretty good about this one. This is one I started streaming and nobody was in the stream and the stream wasn't like super high quality. So I was like, fuck it. I don't want to do this because I want to see this in 4K. Like, I'm actually really enjoying this. I was very surprised that I was enjoying this. Again, just listen to the start of this episode where I said I don't like Happy Gilmore. The fact that they not only fridged Julie Bowen's character in the first 5 minutes, but then start like doing all this really fucking bizarre shit. And in all honesty, like the way they set the pieces for the sequel, they're stacking the odds against themselves. I'm like, there's no way you're gonna be able to pull this all together. And they somehow do. And they do with an insane amount of cameos, an insane amount of like value. I'm honestly kind of surprised this was only $30 million. Like, that fucking ass, yeah. Another ass garbage Adam Sandler movie, Couples Retreat, costs like $50 million because this is what he usually does, is like takes his pals on vacation somewhere.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That's what a lot of his movies do. I am this movie looks fucking really good for $30 million. I maybe almost take back some of my negative comments and style seeing it was $30 million because, like, the CG at the end is fucking believable
really
for
good.
$30 million. Like,
believable as hell.
You know, so that's impressive. That's impressive as hell. I don't love some of the cameo stuff as much as everybody else, but, like, it's still impressive. There's value here. This is a very enthusiastic 4 for me. I don't think I can go 5, but I'm going to be very enthusiastic about my 4.
Wow. I'm personally very conflicted on this because as someone, I love Happy Gilmore 1. Happy Gilmore 2 isn't anything close to Happy Gilmore 1. Wow. The first Happy Gilmore is like just so grounded as a movie. This movie, as like, you could have put them playing golf on the moon and it would have like fit in there. Like, this is just a complete, totally a completely different movie. Like, it's insane. Like, you can almost take when he does the Happy Gilmore and just the power shot in the first movie and it goes whoosh, and it just, there's a sense of speed and power. Whereas in this one, it's just like hyper CGI and it like does this Matrix float around, so it spins. It's just it's more fantastical. So that's like the best way to describe the difference between the two for me. And with that being said, this is still a 5 for me. Like, I can't sit here and knock that it's not the Happy Gilmore 1 that I love. This is another Happy Gilmore that I love for a different reason. I didn't even realize it was almost 2 hours long until you said that. It goes through at such a quick clip, and the only times it slows down is when I'm rolling my eyes when they're just ham-fisting in those clips from the first movie.
Flashbacks, yeah.
You know, it's got like this wonderful, like, he's an alcoholic story with this over the topness of, like, you want to sip of my three wood? Like, motherfuckers drinking out of a cuckoo clock and feeding John Daly hand sanitizer.
I loved that. Rolling.
The hand sanitizer?
Any of them. Any of his, yeah, like, hidden alcohol caches. That's practical fucking cool effects. I love
when
that.
When he opened somebody up the golf ball, that. I cracked up so hard.
That was so ridiculous.
Like, it was a joke that went on just long enough that it could have gotten annoying and then come back around to being funny again.
I like that might be my favorite visual gag of this movie. I love those so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the daughter saying, that's why this thing never worked, as she pours booze out of a TV remote.
Yeah.
Great bit. Great bit.
Yep.
So good. This is we'll get to like critical response to this afterwards, but just in terms of enjoyment, like, this is up there for me. Like, I could just in an afternoon put on one and then follow it up with two and just have it going on as I'm cleaning or something. It's easy, easy for me. Kyle, why don't you wrap this up and then take us home with direction?
Cool. So I lied a second ago when I said I couldn't remember my point. I just knew it would make better sense here and be dynamic. Because when I started this episode, I said I came into this with a bit of a chip on my shoulder. I kind of wanted to hate this movie. That is directly because of Joe Dirt 2 and how big of an absolute piece of shit that was. And just the fact, like, they didn't care and it was an attempt at a cash grab. I thought that's what this was going to be. Like, Brian completely turned around. I was so fucking floored from the moment this shit hit start. I kept saying to Mandy, this is fucking funny. Like, I'm really liking this. Throughout, we talk entertainment value. We've mentioned the cameos. While there are a shit ton of cameos, yes, there are some cameos that, like, get a bigger chance to shine, like Eminem.
Yeah,
and Travis Kelce. Dude, honestly, Travis Kelce, yeah, really fucking killed it as the waiter. And he has fun with it when they come back and Bad Bunny is, like, torturing him and painting the honey on him.
So good,
like. The commitment they get, and I have to believe so many people are like, they just ask, like, we're like, hey, would you do this? And they're like, yeah, I'm in Happy Gilmore too. Whatever the fuck you want. I don't care.
Yeah.
I know there are so many people that were just like, absolutely, I would love to be in Happy Gilmore too.
Post Malone.
Guy Post Malone. Oh my God. Dude, oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh my gosh.
The golf announcer converting to live wearing the jacket and,
oh God, so good.
Just hearing that guy's voice do that stuff. It's, we've been just flippant with him, so I'm not going to. This absolutely gets a very enthusiastic 5 from me. So
yeah. I give it a 5. Hardcore 5. Right? 5.
I laughed my fucking ass off throughout the entire movie.
For 2 hours.
From start to finish. My only one complaint is the same as you guys. It's a little long in the tooth. Could have maybe cut 15 out of there, but still not going to complain.
Cut the flashbacks of Ross Schneider and you're there.
You could have. Yeah, for real. I mean, honestly. But
you beat me to it. He's a fucking brilliant man. Listen to this Brian guy. Listen to him.
So yeah, a 5.
And direction. Talk to us about the film as a whole and the vision and execution of the director. I feel like we've talked about the film as a whole, but like the vision and execution of the director.
So this is where I get to come in and glaze, get the glizzy in the throat a bit.
That's a hot dog.
Get a stroke on.
He's going to crank. Use the glizzy while he's glazing. He's going to double hog it.
Because for until I had no idea. Kyle Newacek was involved with this movie until, like, literally, I think last week, I sent it in our group chat and was like, wait, how did I not know this? Or maybe it was in the movie channel. One of them, I had just discovered when I looked it up that he was directing this, and I was, once I saw that, I was like, all right, I'm super fucking stoked to watch this movie. Because I probably would not have, I might have hearing the positive things. But it's hard to say, because I don't know. They are hit and miss. But seeing him, number one, hooked me. Because if you don't know, Kyle Newacek is one of the co-creators and one of the main writers and directed a majority of the episodes of Workaholics, which
yeah. Brown is water one of trash, my all-time if you're filthy.
Favorite comedy shows ever. To me, it's still super underrated, still super slept on.
That and Broad City. That, like, both of them double hit sure. at the same time. They Comedy were, Central at its peak, almost.
Yeah, they were sister shows together. I fucking adore Workaholics so much, and you can see so much of Kyle Newacek's direction style in Happy Gilmore 2. I love that he is a younger director. So that to me, like, this movie has a lot of energy because of that. Like, it, I think one of the biggest reasons you don't feel the 2-hour runtime is because it's constantly keeping you going. It's engaging. Something is happening. Something is taking your attention. A joke. Somebody's falling. At all times, there's something entertaining you. It's almost like Mad Max Fury Road, and like it's just focus on giving you, keeping the thing that you're interested in centered and the focus of the movie. And that's
what a wild comparison. I know. I love it.
I know it's weird. but I feel it's apt because, like, just in the, like, in Fury Road, like, the whole goal was to keep you looking at the center of the screen. And this, I feel it's just, look at the joke. Here's the joke. Here we go. We're moving. I don't know. It's so fast-paced. I usually hate it. I loved it. I loved the comeback where he's drunk on the golf course with Eric Andre and Margaret Qualley. And that, like, his first attempt at playing golf in, like, 10 years. I love how long we stay on it. We really milk the jokes out of it, but they don't get old.
Like, look, this asshole's going to try the Happy Gilmore swing.
And it's great. And then halfway through when he does reveal that he's Happy Gilmore and they're all blown away still. It's just, I don't know. I'm really torn. This is not a perfect movie. It's absolutely, definitely rough. But I cannot say that he didn't fully achieve the vision and scope of what I imagine the Happy Gilmore 2 sequel was pitched at. I think he captured the tone, the energy, everything perfectly. If we could give a half, I would, but I can't. It's the most enthusiastic 4 I can give. So I absolutely love it. You crushed it, Kyle Newacek. I love you, bro.
That whole scene that you're talking about, Eric Andre, Margaret Qualley, and honestly, it was one of the writers. His name is escaping me right now. Tim Herlihy.
Oh.
He was one of the writers of this movie.
Actually,
man,
Tim Herlihy is the writer. It's his son Martin who was in that scene.
Oh,
Martin is one of the guys from Please Don't Destroy
SNL. Yeah, Please Don't Destroy.
Good call.
Watch Please Don't Destroy.
Kyle, you nail it. Like, that whole scene is just so perfect. Because they're talking how much they don't want to play with a newbie because they take forever, but they are, like, the worst people mm-hmm. ever, and they just take forever because they're terrible. It was so beautiful. And, man, I had no idea that Kyle Newacek also directed, like, a third of the episodes of What We Do in the Shadows, mm-hmm. too.
Uh-huh.
Dude, he's a good fucking, like, director.
God, yeah, I fucking damn, love him. He did 20 out of like the 60.
I love the Workaholics movie Netflix did.
God, Game Over?
Damn. The Game Over?
Game
it's
Over.
So
Game
fucking really good. Also,
it's,
watch
it's Kyle
Game Over.
Newacek and the
audience.
Three dudes from Workaholics.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen Adam Devine's penis yet,
yeah.
get in there.
And also, Mar
the amount of times
Home Alone.
That probably has been said. Crazy.
Get in there.
Get in there.
So good.
I think Brian said earlier that this is probably like a Netflix directive, but like at what point is that not kind of on the director at all to be putting, is this on the director to be putting those flashbacks in there, or is that an editing thing post that? Like, how much?
The director controls it all. The director is the captain of the ship.
So all of the pieces, like, it's getting a 1-point knock for all of that nonsense that I don't like.
Well, but that doesn't mean, I don't know if
it was fine.
You also got to consider Final Cut. Like, Netflix could take cut and do that shit.
That's why I asked, but
I don't know.
It's still going to be a 4.
I don't think that typically happens unless there's like a dispute or conflict. Yeah,
especially. I mean, I want the newer check film contract with Netflix. I doubt that.
True.
That he doesn't have Final Cut.
Hashtag Newacek cut.
Mm-hmm. So, give us the Newacek cut.
Sandler may have Final Cut more than Newacek does.
That probably is probably the Sandler truth. Cut. But they probably have a good working hashtag relationship because of Murder Mystery. Yeah,
I would imagine they do.
How about Ryan and then Brian, and you can give us the roundup.
Oh, perfect. Okay. I love everything you both have said. I really don't have much to add, except I will again reiterate, a director is the captain of the ship. He has to do it all, and he has to do it all within budget. $30 million for what this movie fucking looks like. That is some goddamn good direction. This should not look this good or have this many people fucking in it for $30 million. That's, and in all honesty, like, I do think a lot of it is, like, The cameos we've mentioned, like the Eric Andres, the Post Malones, these are people who grew up loving Happy Gilmore, so they were probably happy to do this for like nothing.
Yeah,
I would assume. Yeah. So like, I get it. But again, like, that's good direction. That is good direction. That was a director's choice to do all this. And again, that budget constraint. And I hate, because this is an art to talk about it in such like business terms, but like, that is part of it. A bad director would go over budget, not know what to do with all this shit. And I do think there are signs, like more than just like, oh, Kyle Newacek can tell jokes. We know he can tell jokes. Kyle Newacek can like shoot fucking pratfall. Yes, we know this. He can do this. He's actually really good with a budget. And I think this is going to mean a lot for him in his Hollywood career. I think this is going to spark a lot of Kyle Newacek directed movies going forward. Love to see what he does. Give him something big. It's like the John Francis Daly tag team that did Game Night, which was a really great comedy movie, and then got the Dungeons and Dragons movie. Give Kyle Newacek something big. I think he can handle it, and he'll do it under budget. He'll do it good. Give him a fucking big movie. I think the direction, honestly, if I've been tepid throughout this entire fucking podcast, this is where I put my heart on the table, because I do think Kyle Newacek directed the hell of this. I was surprised Kyle wanted to lead this shit and then gave him a 4. I'm going
to
give this
me to 5.
I'm going to give this a straight solid 5. I think he directed the fuck out of this movie. And again, turned somebody who did not even fucking like Happy Gilmore, and somebody was like, I could watch Happy Gilmore 3 if like Kyle comes back. That'd be great. I'd dig that. So yeah, 5. I am in a fucking very happy 5.
Ha! I see what you did there. I guess that leaves me. There's not much that I can say that you guys haven't already said. Newacek crushed it. Knocked it out of the park for that budget. It's unreal. Unreal. And there's no doubt he'll have future work because of this. And I'm sure a lot of this is Adam Sandler calling in favors. It seems like a big passion project of his. But at the end of the day, this is a monster of a movie for that budget. And I would not be surprised to see Newacek doing more sports stuff too, because I think this is among the first of his actual
great action shots.
Sports direction.
Makes golf look cool.
I can't disagree with anybody here. I gotta go 5.
Happy Gilmore making black people like golf again.
Oh, I love the. All right, sure. Yeah, you were the best golfer in the 90s after Tiger and me.
So, yeah. The fact, like, I watched that scene, I watched that twice, and he says that line, and like the whole,
after Tiger and me. Like, his lips aren't even moving. It's as if he's just trying to say it out of the side of his mouth. Like, even that was just done after so Tiger. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. So where does that put us, Brian?
A total score that is maybe generous. I don't know. I had a good time with this. Yeah. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie, even going in with low expectations, because critically, this thing right now, it's 62% critical on Rotten Tomatoes, 69% audience, 6.3 out of 10 on IMDb, 52% on Metacritic, only a 2.8 on Letterboxd. So, like,
snooty bucks.
Yeah, of course they are.
Right in the middle, it's a higher than, just a little bit above 50%, 60%. Across the board. We gave it an 82, though.
Whoa, okay.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good score.
Yeah, but I feel like, that's
maybe a little bit higher than where I would land, but like not by that much.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I would be higher than the other scores you said.
Yeah, I would probably be somewhere in the 70s range, mid-70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think, yeah. That feels right.
I was surprised to see, outside of the IMDb score, which, as you said, is a 6.2, the first Happy Gilmore is a 7 on IMDb, but Whoa. The second one is higher than the first one pretty much everywhere else,
yeah,
which is what really surprised me when I was looking that up earlier. But I don't hate I don't hate what we gave it. It was an enjoyable time. I'm glad that I got I watched it twice in the last like 5 days. Don't regret.
I would not be upset about watching it again. I'm gonna go
watch Murder Mystery. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm very intrigued now.
It's a good movie. it's amazing,
solid.
But
it's very solid. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to. Yeah. I mean, I was gonna watch it with Kyle involved anyway, so.
Yeah, he was involved with Murder Mystery too.
Cool.
I think he directed it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Listeners, if you are on like a Perot or like a Benoit Blanc or a Columbo kick or something, like this is just the Murder Mysteries are just an easy flick to toss on to get that itch. Speaking of itch, Ryan, you're up next week. I don't know how that segue worked at all, but Ryan, you're up next week.
Well, I have an itch.
I'm itching to know what you're bringing.
Well, I've got some cream for that itch, and it comes in 3 bottles that you're going to have to pick from. So, one bottle
is
kind of spooky, but not like bloody spooky or like really graphic or gratuitous spooky. It is a PG-13 spooky.
Is it spooky?
One of the most thrilling things I've seen in a long time. But it is spooky, so I know there are people here who don't love spooky. That's bottle A.
Asian or American?
American. American.
Okay.
American. There is not... All of these are American movies
time. I was just trying to guess for the
because
record.
I've been doing some weird shit recently, so I'm reining in. bottle B. It's just like a flat out fucking comedy. I'm pretty sure everybody's seen it, but I think it'll be fun to rewatch.
Okay.
And then bottle C is some of that weird Ryan shit. The kind of movie where Sean plays and Sarah goes like, Ryan picked this, didn't he? And it's not going to make you feel good at the end. And it's fucked up. But you also see some boobs that I'm pretty sure
Ryan really a lot of people here will like. He wants to watch.
Boobs that a lot of people here would like?
I think I know C.
It's a weird way of saying that.
I don't like the way
you said that.
If you could guess C, I will... What is an embarrassing thing I can do auditorily on podcast? I would fucking do that. There's no way you're going to guess
C. It'd be something impression-based.
Okay, I probably won't then, but...
I would do the most specific impression you ask on air if you guess C.
We on Patreon,
whatever we pick, which, we also have now a side bet.
Fair
which on Patreon, on which Patreon, you can find that's a good at Linktree / experience grind. We recently talked about people saying stuff that could get them canceled. And Ryan, that is a very, very
I'm putting it out there. I will do
dangerous
that on Patreon.
Road to go down.
So I will say C is
that
not
on
mother.
Patreon. If you can guess what C is,
my vote is for B.
Okay, let me and write that. If, all right, one mark for B. Yeah, okay.
I vote for B because I'm curious what a Ryan comedy is specifically.
Oh, dude, so. I choose winners, dog.
I know you do, and that's why I'm really interested because I like a lot more crass comedy than you, but we have very similar comedy stylings and tastes, so.
It's true. Yeah. You'll all like it. If you've not already seen it, you're going to love this comedy.
100%. I'm just very curious. I liked the idea of B.
Mm-hmm.
What are you feeling, Brian?
Man, I don't know, because, like, they're Spooky all good. Is not really my wheelhouse. We know this. It's not.
What's not?
But if it's not like super gory spooky, I'm usually pretty good. I love that. Is it more of like a psychological horror kind of deal, or are we still dealing with kind of like
more? It's more than just psychological. Okay, I'll say that. Okay.
It's spooky spooks.
It's spooky, spooky spooks. I thought it was, but it's not gory spooky spooks.
Okay. I thought it was okay. Presents, and I looked that up.
I think I maybe know. I want to take a shot at A too. I want to try to guess before
Dude,
you reveal.
If you so like A and C. If either one, I will give you a specific impression for each one you get if you could get either of them.
Okay.
I don't
okay.
think you will. I will double down still, on my offensive damn. Impressions.
And if I'm wrong, I'll blow you a kiss.
All right, cool.
I think my vote is totally also for B, but like I really don't know.
I'm
kind of curious about the C, too.
I have no idea what B is. B is the one that has completely flabbergasted me.
Yeah.
So
wow. B could be anything. It could even be a boat.
I love that A or C, so I think I'm outvoted anyways.
That's true. So. Sadly, Sean, you are correct. You are outvoted. So we are going to do Bottle B, which is the comedy. It's going to be Hot Rod.
Okay. Yes! Yes!
I'm pretty, like I said, nice. I'm pretty sure everybody's seen it. Oh, Sean, you haven't. Not. You're going to fucking love this, dude.
Dude.
This is,
I love it.
We're going to have fun. We're going to have fun next week, too.
That's Andy Samberg, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's Danny McBride's
I know
first
what
movie.
It is. I haven't seen
it's
it.
It's going to be
That was his
good.
First movie? I thought
that
Foot
was
Fist
the first
was.
Movie. Oh, Foot Fist is. You're right. Foot Fist.
Okay. Yeah,
this
I was
going to
say,
his second
Foot
movie.
Was
I guess it's, yeah. Yeah.
We could say Hot Rod was his break.
All right, are we saving the reveal of the other ones for Patreon,
I'll
or are we going to do that
quick.
Right here?
Yes, reveal them on Patreon.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sucker's got to pay to hear what the other movies
See
were.
You, bitches.
Fuck, man.
Ooh, I like it.
Which, you guys can go to, what the fuck is the thing? Linktree/experiencegrind. Get our Patreon.
Get it
and
done.
Also our Discord. Give us a buck or something. I don't know. Buy us a
Give us
coffee
a buck
or
something.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't fucking know. There's a new episode every week. There's like
there is
an extra two or 3 hours worth of podcast every month over on Patreon.
And it's so, good stuff.
Tur.ee/experience.
Mostly. Yeah. Mostly. Sometimes they're poopers, but still like it's still a lot of quality.
It's
even
weekly.
For the poopers.
The last couple it's have like, been like 40 minutes long.
I do think they've been pretty solid. I will give you, there's some that have
like
been
poops.
Not great, but we've had some great not poop ones on a roll lately.
That's true.
I'll also say, sometimes we finish one and I'm like, man, I don't know how I feel about that. And then I'll listen back as I'm getting them ready to drop. I'm like, fuck, okay, that was a pretty
That's
good
hot.
Episode.
That's hot. Get over there, listeners.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
There it is.
Anyways, folks, thank you for joining us. We will see you over on Patreon or in our Discord, which if you followed that link that I told you to go to, you'd be there. You'd be cool. But until next time, go play with your balls.
Ooh.